Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. Can you remember what were the dietary guidelines that were published in 2015? Can you remember any of them? What are the dietary guidelines for 2025? Did you read them? Well, let me give you the rundown. The 2015 dietary guidelines were released 10 years ago. The 2025 version, about a couple of months ago as I record this. Research was reviewed, meetings held, comments were given, experts gave input to both, millions of dollars were spent. Was there anything groundbreaking in the 2015 guidelines? How about the 2025 version? Maybe you've heard about the emphasis on protein and saturated fat in this latest version. If you read any of the commentary about the latest dietary guidelines, you would have thought there were radical changes. Eat or drink a full-fat dairy diet. Use beef tallow. Ultra-processed foods should be eliminated. When you've got some time to spend, spend it by going to the U.S. Department of Agriculture website and reading the summaries of the 2015 and the 2025 dietary guidelines. Now, the scientific documents are over 100 pages or so, but the summaries are only 4 to 5 pages long with plenty of pictures. In my opinion, there are very few differences between the recommendations. Both still use the same base of 2,000 calories per day. The recommended percentage of fat intake is the same, no more than 30% of your daily calories. The same number of fruits and vegetables are recommended, still way too low at 2 and 3 respectively. Sodium intake, the same. Eat whole grains, not refined carbohydrates, the same. So where did all the discussion come from? Well, let's take a look. The new dietary guidelines suggest higher protein intake. The recommendation is warranted given that we just simply don't get enough protein based on the most recent research. Maybe there's slightly more emphasis on animal protein, but all plant-based sources of protein, including beans and nuts, are given just like they always have been. Because both sets of guidelines talk about adjusting nutrient intake based on stages of life, there's an increase of protein recommended at the different stages of life. You can now use full-fat dairy and beef tallow for cooking. Although the focus on these two stirred a lot of online commotion, these are not meaningful changes in the recommendation for consuming dairy products or deep fat frying in oils. While the commentary reached a high-pitched crescendo in the podcast and influencer world, you will probably figure out for yourself why it was meaningless when you read it. Because when you read those recommendations in 2015 and 2025, the guidelines say not to exceed 10% of the daily calories from saturated fat. So, 1 cup of milk would contain 5 grams of saturated fat, about 25% of the recommended daily intake for the average person. Fry something in beef tallow, and depending on the food, that could use up the rest of the day's entire fat recommendation, and maybe the next day's as well. This is no different than the 2015 recommendation in any substantive way. You should eat fewer ultra-processed foods. One more time. There's no difference in the recommendations for avoiding ultra-processed foods. The 2015 guideline didn't call them ultra-processed food because that's a recent addition to the lexicon, but the pictures definitely show foods high in processed carbohydrates, sugars, and fats. In the 2025, I'm hard-pressed by a sandwich being considered an ultra-processed food, but hey, those are part of the 2025 dietary guidelines. The real problem with the dietary guidelines from 2015 were twofold. and they will probably happen again for 2025. Most Americans will never read the synopsis. Even if they do, they most likely really won't change their eating habits to a more nutritious diet that's based on vegetables, fruits, quality protein from all sources, whole grains, and a reasonable intake of fat. They haven't since the dietary guidelines were first introduced in 1980, and while I hate to seem negative, I don't think they will now either. Now, when I wrote this a few weeks ago in my twice-weekly email, someone used artificial intelligence to compare the 2025 guidelines with the 2015 dietary guidelines. It's really interesting. It pointed out all the differences between the two versions. It took up almost a full page on a sheet of paper. But it proved that while AI can follow algorithms, it doesn't have the experience to understand nuances, using ultra-processed food as an example. That word wasn't used in 2014 when the dietary guidelines were written, so what it said was different, yet the document refers to foods that were clearly ultra-processed foods. Somehow AI should have been able to know that 5 servings of fruits and vegetables are not enough in a healthy diet. Maybe it needs more training, or maybe simply stated, we all just need to eat less, eat better, and let's throw in move more just for the heck of it, because those are part of the dietary guidelines as well and always have been. Well, as long as we're talking about guidelines, the American Heart Association PREVENT online calculator has just been released. PREVENT stands for Predicting Risk of Cardiovascular Disease Events. If you search for the American Heart Association PREVENT online calculator in your favorite search engine, you should be able to find it. And while you're there, you can calculate your 10-year risk of cardiovascular disease, your risk of heart failure, and your risk of atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, ASCVD for short. The new model has a goal of catching cardiac disease earlier. The age of risk assessment was expanded to include people aged 30 to 79 years this time. More than that, it was designed to be race and ethnicity free. Instead, they are using zip codes to identify environmental factors that can influence the development of heart disease. As I said, the goal is to encourage people to use it earlier and adjust their lifestyle at a younger age to reduce the risk the older that they get. So I decided to play around with the numbers. First, I ran it with my actual numbers, my age, systolic blood pressure, glomerular filtration rate, total cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, body mass index. Do you take a statin? No. Or blood pressure med? No. Non-smoker? No history of diabetes. Now, there are 3 more options specific to chronic kidney disease, diabetes, with HbA1c, and zip code. I only entered my zip code as I've never been tested for the others. There was no need to. My 10-year risk of cardiovascular disease is 18.8%, the ASCVD was 10.7%, and heart failure was 10.3%. I was a little disappointed, so I began to manipulate the variables. Body mass index from overweight to normal weight, no change. Raise your HDL to over 60 milligrams per deciliter, reduced it by just 0.5%. Taking a statin medication, even though my cholesterol levels are normal, lowered it by 3%. But then I did this. I lowered the age by 30 years. It reduced the cardiovascular disease to 0.5%. That's just 0.5%. And the ASCVD to 5.5%. Well, we can't change our age, so I guess I'm stuck. Or am I? There's no lifestyle test for this. But just like the USDA dietary guidelines give us a goal for dietary changes, the American Heart Association PREVENT calculator helps you refine lifestyle by giving you targets to aim for. While changing your BMI when it's close to a healthy BMI may not be important when you're over 60, it can be really significant when you're 30 or 40 years of age. It'll reduce your blood pressure, most likely, reduce your risk of diabetes, and reduce your risk of kidney issues. The benefits you get now accrue for benefits you can collect later. Read the dietary guidelines and adopt them, even if it's just one item at a time. Calculate the risk of cardiovascular disease now so it stays as close to zero for as long as you can. Prevention is a whole lot better than treatment. And that's all the time I have for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the share button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.